Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The story is told of a student who went to a lecture one afternoon. After he'd sat down somewhere near the back of the lecture theatre, it was announced that Professor McDonnell was taking the lecture. Well, the student couldn't contain himself. Muttering under his breath, he said, "Oh no. He is terrible. He gives the worst lectures in the world. I'm going to hate this." A woman who was sitting just in front of him then turned round. He didn't recognize her. But she asked him, "Do you know who I am?" "No," said the student, slightly puzzled. "I'm Mrs. McDonnell," she said, "wife of the professor." There was an uneasy pause in the conversation before the student replied, "Do you know who I am?" "No," said Mrs. McDonnell. "Good," said the student, as he got up and left. "Do you know who I am?" That, I think, is the question that Luke is putting to us on behalf of Jesus as he opens up the gospel, as he starts to tell us the story of Jesus' birth. Do you know who I am? Do you know who Jesus is? We've been working our way through Luke's gospel as part of our Christmas services this year. We're particularly homing in on the joy different people as they respond to the birth of Jesus. And Luke is keen to help us understand that he's not making this up. When we open up the gospel in our Bibles, he's taken time to find out that this is true. He tells us right at the beginning, he's spoken to eyewitnesses. There's a good chance he's spoken to Mary, some of the details that we get in these early chapters of Luke. Details that only she'd have known. Just heard of her treasuring or pondering in her heart the things that were going on. Only she would know that, wouldn't she? Well, Luke here, as we jump in, he's just, in fact, announced who Jesus is. As we ask that question, "Do you know who I am? Do we know who Jesus is?" We've just been told that. If you were here this morning, you'd have heard the verses that told you that. The angels suddenly appeared on the hillside, and they announced something to a group of shepherds. "Do not be afraid," they say. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angels kind of pile up, don't they, in that one sentence. Who is Jesus? He's a Savior. He's the Messiah. That means the anointed king. He's the king. And he's the Lord, and in Bible language, that's God. He's a savior, a rescuer. He's the Messiah, the anointed king. He's God himself. And he's been born to you, say the angels. Your savior, your king, your God, he's arrived. He's here. And they go on, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now that is a strange sign. They've just announced that a saviour, a king, God himself, has just been born to you. Here's the sign. What would you expect? Something royal? Something golden? Something big and grand and obvious? Trumpet fanfare? A manger. Luke seems fairly obsessed with the manger. If we read through these verses, he mentions the manger three times. As Jesus is born, he says he's laid in a manger. When the angels appear, they say the sign is you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then in verse 16, he mentions it again. The shepherds, they hurry off. They find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And the shepherd's response, joy. Do you know who I am? The baby in the manger was a sign that brought joy to grown men. That should strike us as we read Luke's gospel. It is slightly odd. And this really gripped them. They couldn't stop talking about it. Luke goes on, when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Bunch of men turned up, seen a baby in a manger, can't stop talking about it. What kinds of things get a bunch of men talking about something that they can't stop talking about it? It takes something, doesn't it? And yeah, that's what Luke tells us. That's what the eyewitnesses have told him. You know, those shepherds, when they wouldn't shut up about this for days, weeks afterwards. And they're not just talking about it. Luke goes on, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Joy. Praising God for what they've seen. How was the manger, and we have one here this morning, it's been tidied away, visual aid. How was the manger a sign to them which brought joy? Now we've often, I think with nativity plays like we had this morning, we've often thought about Jesus being born in a stable. Because of the mention of the manger. For those who've studied the text and the history and the culture and know the region, their commentary to us is, well, probably that manger was in a house, peasant's house. If you were poor, you'd probably have a one-room house, family living downstairs. There might be a guest room upstairs on the roof. And that one room off it, at one end, slightly lower, was where the animals would be brought in overnight, bringing in a bit of warmth and keeping the animals safe. And between the animals and the family at the other end in the one-room house, there'd be a manger, a trough to feed those animals. No room at the inn is more likely no room in the guest room upstairs because there's already family there. It's very unlikely that Mary and Joseph turning up to Bethlehem where they've got history, heritage, perhaps family. in a culture that was high on honour, hospitality, it's very unlikely they'd have been shoved to one side and left in the dark on their own. It's more than likely they'd have been invited into that family room with somebody, relative, friend. And it's here that Jesus was born and laid in a manger, in the heart of an ordinary peasant's house. The very kind of house that the shepherds might have owned themselves. Their kind of house. And so that sign to them was a big finger pointing to them and saying, God has come, your Saviour has come, the King has come, and he identifies with you. He's been born in your kind of house. Sometimes Prince William appears in a shop or just outside a shop selling the big issue, doesn't he? Just occasionally, it happened quite recently. Just for a few hours, identifying with those who are often shunned, ignored. Jesus was born in a peasant's house, probably, laid in a manger, definitely. And so as the shepherds hear this message, they're encouraged to go and find him, to go and look, to go and see, is this true? That's what they do, isn't it? Because actually they feel comfortable to do that, to find him in a manger, to go to a house just like their house. There's no barrier of class or dress code. They can approach him and see him. He truly was, as Matthew's gospel puts it, God with us, Emmanuel. The Saviour had come, God's Son had come, and he'd entered their world. Their world of no doubt mess and sadness and suffering and struggle. Their world, which 2,000 years later actually is very much like our world, isn't it? Mess and suffering and sadness and struggle, I guess they're things that we have within our families, our homes, not all neat and tidy. Saviour had come to them. Hadn't just come for the rich and the religious, though we see some of them come to visit him later on. He'd come for ordinary people. Like us, like you. This Christmas time, all the carols that we've sung today, Jesus says to you, do you know who I am? I've come for you. I identify with you. I know you. I've come to save you. I've come to be your king. Do you know who I am? The shepherds found out by going to see for themselves, going to check it out, and that would be my encouragement to you. If your answer to that question, if Jesus is saying that, if your answer is, I'm not sure, can I encourage you to find out more? On the back of your service sheet for today, there's an invitation, Connect with Christianity. It's on Wednesday evenings. Starting in the new year again, opportunity to come and just find out more, ask questions, explore. Could this really be true? The baby in the manger was a sign that brought joy to grown men. Secondly, and more quickly, the baby in the manger was a sign of things to come. Those humble, lowly beginnings, they pointed forward to the life that Jesus was going to live. The people that he was drawn to, would speak to and help spend time with. Indeed, it would point forward to where his life would lead. A friend of Luke who wrote this gospel, a friend of Luke's called Paul, very significant in the early church, wrote lots of the New Testament, and in a letter to the church in Philippi, he said this, speaking of Jesus: Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something that to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus, the Son of God, this is what he did. Again, the manger takes us there, doesn't it? He humbled himself. But then Paul goes on, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The wooden manger points forward to the wooden cross where Jesus would go, the Bible says, to die for our sin, to bring us forgiveness, to make us right with God, to give us the hope of eternity, to triumph over the grave, to give us light in the darkness. It's what Luke's gospel goes on to describe. It's perhaps what you might have questions about. Did he really? What difference does this make? Well, Paul goes on in Philippians, having gone to the cross, he says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you know who I am? Says Jesus. He is the humble servant king who came to save us. And risen from the grave, he's the triumphant, glorious king who we worship today, if we know him. Do you know who I am? Our final carol speaks of him now and speaks of us looking forward to his return, which the Bible says he will. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Not speaking of his birth, but speaking of his return. If you know him, you can really sing this carol. If you don't yet know him, then look at the words and see what they describe and what they say. And again, if it's stuff that you long for, can I encourage you to find out more about who Jesus is?